Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Moon Talk Radio. I'm Graydale Martez Harris, and I'll be giving you another rendition of identity and transitioning within yourself, enlightenment within yourself, opening the doors to yourself through spirituality, connecting to God, connecting to your higher chakras, listening to the little child inside of yourself that says, I want to be happy. I deserve to have a continuous flow of joy within myself. Today's episode is going to be titled Sex, the Sex, and Creation. The overall theme, I just saw 111 as I said that, as far as the time going, as far as me talking to you guys so far. The overall theme is about creation, how we create, basically, because that's what sex is. It's a creation. Even when it's not creating a child, you're creating sensations and pleasures and stimuli within each other. There is a spiritual exchange. That's what sex really is, S-E-X. Spiritual exchange. I think we first have to recognize that we are just more than our bodies. Now, most of us have that awareness. But it's as simple as Genesis, even. I was reading Genesis the other day because I've been really curious with Lilith and kind of trying to see where and when and if she was actually displayed within the Bible. And the first reference that they give to Lilith is really just when you go to Genesis chapter 1:27, and it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And that's before, you know, the whole story of putting Adam to sleep after he named everything and realizing he was like lonely. And then he carves out the rib and he has Eve, or he creates Eve. Okay. And that was when he realized that it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. But it says that Adam's first wife was Lilith, right? So it's already kind of telling you that she could be alone, or she was willing to. She was on a different level, possibly. I mean, it's just something to think about right then, you know, as far as like how we're comparing all of these different scenarios into play with our behavior and what we believe creation is for ourselves. I just wanted to start with something more biblical, but I'm also going to use, obviously, science, scientific, philosophical, spiritual contexts and all of these contexts. This is Moon Talk Radio, so we're talking about really the cycle and the revulsion of the moon, the planets, the distance of light, air particles, elements of the earth, ether, chakras, and how these things affect you as a person, your behaviors, your realizations. I said your behaviors, and it was 4 minutes and 44 seconds just then. I'm seeing a lot of 111, 444 as I give you guys these messages today. So it's all relative to each other. You know, I was trying to explain to a friend the other day how God's language is numbers, is math, actually. So science is really of God when you think about it's kind of like our version of playing God, right? That's what we see science as. And that's why a lot of people see science as something that's bad, something that is like going against the natural order of things. But it's also the natural order of things to be curious. I mean, God was curious enough to create the heavens and to create us and to blow breath into us and to give us life and to give us choice even. He's curious enough to see what we will decide for ourselves. So curiosity is a natural concept that we get from God. When he said that he made us in his image, they, should I say, because it is a they, when they said that, they're not just talking about physically, right? They're talking about a lot of the different emotions and the different characteristics. I mean, God has wrath, and you hear different things in the Bible when it says, and God winked. And that's giving God personality in the Old Testament when it says, and God winked at them. I'll have to look up some of those scriptures later. But, you know, those things are very, very interesting aspects. You can see the Old Testament God is not very fair at all. He's just very opinionated in his concepts, like humans are. Anyway, getting back to the science part of it. So say we have the big boom, boom, right? Boom, ripple, 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 ripple. Okay, that was the beginning of our life. And from out of those rings is the symbolization of basically our existence, sound. There are ripples within water. There are sound ripples. There are heat waves. Everything is just the planets go in a circular motion around each other. The earth is circling. Your daily schedule is a circle of waking up and sleeping and being born and dying. All of these kind of circles, this ripple, this boom, is really an exemplification of sex, creation, the sex, right? Sex, the sex, creation, basically. And I want to get to that through the masculine and feminine polarities, kind of using yin and yang in this concept. So if you kind of close your eyes and you imagine black and white, yin and yang, and imagine them being able to push and pull on each other within this circular motion. Maybe they're fighting within the circle, and the circle can bend like a bubble, but they can't get out of the circle. They're just kind of punching at each other, and they're going up and down and in and out, but they're still in the bubble together. And that kind of concept is kind of the beginning of curiosity, right? And something's churning and an engine, and why are you thinking these thoughts, and what's really going on in there? It's almost like growth inside of a womb or something. It's churning, 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 like an idea that you're trying to catch in your mind. It's churning. And that can be like the passion and the balance of the masculine and feminine. We all have masculine and feminine inside of us. That can be played out in gender and sexuality and tones and behavior, occupation with your lover. It's colors. I don't know. You can that the masculine and feminine can be all kinds of things. You can be you know, lieutenant of the army and be a woman. You can be, you know, an amazing nanny and be a cute femme, cis, gay male. You know, there's so many different ways that the masculine and the feminine can play out in your life. So this churning happens. And this churning happening is really like the idea of creation, right? It's like God is like, you know, it's like, I'm about to do this thing. It's like having an itch that you want to scratch. I'm about to do this. And then the penetration happens of the masculine through the feminine, right? And that's basically the feminine giving the masculine this big hug and churning and making it say, yeah, this is what it is. And you're right. And the masculine's going, yeah, this is right. And she's going, yes, that's right. You know, and that's the idea that's coming forth, right? The idea of creation, even the masculine and the feminine. And through that churning, through that pleasure, through that pain, through that existence is an ejaculation. Boom. Boom. And that's just like the big boom, right? Creation. Just like boom, you make a baby when the sperm goes in the egg. Boom, the climax of the semen. Boom, the masculine through the feminine. Boom. It's just like sitting in your room and having an epiphany that you're no longer going to do this or that or that. Boom, I got an idea. It's just the same kind of concept where you, there is this. And that happens inside of all of us, this masculine and feminine and this kind of churning and this kind of creation and this kind of realization. Because through that is the manifestation, right? So you had all that pleasure, all that explosion, all that tension simmering underneath. And then there was an eruption of action, which is exemplified on the earth. Just like when avalanches drop after they were slowly sliding. Or when a volcano is built up and then it gets pent up and then it erupts. Right? Or a hurricane that's building until it's a monster. Right? Those are, you see it coming. Like the tornado, you see it coming before it touches down and then it's destroying everything. That's the manifestation. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. The masculine, the feminine, basically the magician. Or the mercurial masculine energy, the understanding. And then there's the high priestess, which is the feminine energy, which is that satellite or the partnership, understanding you are and I am and we are. And then the sequence of that, the three, 1, 2, 3, go, 1, 2, 3, stop, 1, 2, 3, sit down, 1, 2, 3, stand up, the synthesis, the anticipation, the empress. And then the foundation of what the manifestation is, which is the emperor. I was using the tarot in that example. So then the emperor, which is, I see clearly, I am the man. I am standing strong. I am telling you to line these troops up. I am telling you to stop this war. I'm telling you to shoot or press the button or don't press the button. And that is the role of the masculine or the man or the emperor a lot of the times. That is about the foundation. And that also is symbolized through the child, because Aries is the first, which is the child, but it's also symbolized as the emperor within the tarot. Four, the fourth month, April, the baby, spring, boom, manifestation, right? So now we're actually going to go through the zodiac within this sex, the sex and the creation here, so that you guys can get an understanding a little bit of the characteristics of the constellations from birth. Because your spirit and you as a person were already you. You're always you. You'll always be you. Energy is never created or destroyed. So you came to be manifested in this plane for a reason. You asked to come, or God allowed you to be here, or you were sent here, or whatever it is that you want to think. But there was a moment when your father and your mother saw each other and the music started. Crazy for you, touch me once and you know it's true. And they started floating towards each other. And it's prom in the 80s or whatever. And they go on goo goo gaga with each other. And that's the yin and the yang and the masculine, the consciousness of the understanding. And then boom, there you go. Through the sex. That was your moment to jump in and be manifested. And now you're within the womb during Aries time. And Aries is I am. I just have this stuff. This is just what I do. This is what Aries is given. I'm just here and I can take all the stuff that I need here. Let me take some of this. Okay. This tastes sour. This tastes sweet. What is this floating stuff? You're just, you're aware that I am And so the sun is exalted in Aries because the sun is talking about your actions. And when a baby comes into a room, we all look at the baby naturally. Oh, a baby. Oh, my goodness. It just causes your all of your emotions, your day, everything to be sucked over towards the baby most of the time. And that's because it's a baby, right? It's Aries energy, which is the exaltation of I am. And the baby's I am, the baby spirit, is so big. So it just so fresh. It's so new. It just came through this portal like I am, even though it's this little tiny little thing. You could be aware of it all the way across the street not saying anything. You're like, I think it's a baby in that cart. I think she's holding a baby. You know, there's just this more powerful awareness, whereas you might bump into an old lady on the corner, literally. So then that's the time of 0 to 7 where you're setting up what your I ams are, kind of like how you're going to learn, what your different programming might be even, you know, think boom, ripple, 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 ripple. This is that first circle, right? Aries. Then you're going into Taurus. Now you're going through terms within the pregnancy. During Taurus is sexuality. That's when you determine, I'm going to have a penis. I'm going to have a vagina. I'm going to have both in some cases. That usually is the time when the body is determining those factors, because Taurus is talking about the fixed earth. Taurus is the planet earth, literally. So it's saying what you have and what you don't have. That's why Taurus rules commitments and the things that you build, your job and your family life, stuff like that, right? I just have this, or I don't just have. My parent was a celebrity, or my parent was a sanitation worker. It doesn't matter. You didn't choose where your family came from. No one did. Okay? That's kind of the energy that you're working with when you're dealing with what you have. And that's the energy and the spirituality of the constellation that is Taurus, right? And it gets to the spiritual through the physical. I have this. Oh, you have that. Oh, having this makes me feel like this. That's why the moon is exalted in Taurus, the Six of Pentacles. The feeling. I have the feeling. Right? Because Taurus is talking about having things. So if you have the feeling, you might feel like you actually have it if you have the feeling. Because feelings can make you feel elusive, even though feelings aren't facts. So then once we get to the third house, which is Gemini, now we know what we have, whatever it is that we have. We've gotten accustomed to being in the womb. We know that we can just eat and just get comfortable with things, because that's what Taurus wants too. It wants to be comfortable, be able to build. Now I'm ready to build because mom always gives me these things. I know she's going to eat and I'm going to get it. So it causes me to start thinking different things. Now during Gemini in the womb, I start to develop my brain, start to develop the central nervous system, right? Now this is also the period of time where, you know, twins really are highlighted. So in the womb, you could be twins in the same embryo. You could have different embryos. You could be identical. You could be paternal. You know, they've got all these tiny cameras now where you watch the baby touching the other baby floating in space while they sleep. And it just seems so angelic and amazing. You know, like the secrets of what's going on in the womb. Like there's some National Geographic Discovery thing I watched a couple years on it. And I was like, almost in tears just looking at it. It's just beautiful. I mean, I have Gemini rising, so the need to connect and to want to understand and to be understood, I'm basically an antenna, which is what Gemini is. It's the first air, so it's our central nervous system. You know, a lot of people will say that the soul is in the heart, but then some people say the soul is in the brain. And a lot of that has to do with the way that you are now spiritually able to function and connect. You are more than conscious of what you have and what you are. Now you want to understand and to be understood. And the hunger to understand and to be understood is mercurial. Now we're getting to the magician and the understandings there. So you see how the magician is one, but Aries is also one because it's spring and it's the baby, right? So you're seeing kind of how these numbers play themselves out, even in the arcana. During Gemini is the time when you want to kiss, your first kiss, and like it's during the period of time from like 16 to 23, right? Taurus would be the period of time from like 8 to 15. During Taurus, it's like my first dance, and Billy's mom, Sue, does this over there, and Father Ted does this, and how to be respectful and disrespectful, and, you know, my first pair of Nikes and all that type of stuff. Those nostalgic memories. You can't sit with us, Mean Girls, all that stuff. That's Taurus. Then you start to get into Gemini, which is the end of high school, which is like varsity. Now you're about to leave the constraints of what you have to be able to explore on your own. Right? When you're a senior, you have more freedom. You might skip class. You might not even have to go to school as much. You might graduate early. Then you go off to college. Now nobody's forcing you to go to college. Nobody's forcing you to go to class. You've got to actually want to do it for yourself. Mentally, you've got to be able to do it, Gemini. You've got to be able to connect on your own. You've got to be able to put the floppy disk in on your own. You've got to be able to download the flash drive system thingy on your own. That's very Gemini. Getting the understandings, right? And if you had some really valid understandings and solidified understandings and you learn well, like you've got that Gemini placement, it would probably be easier for you. Sometimes it's too easy for certain Gemini, especially Gemini sons. They can be very con artist-like, right? And be very witty and manipulative with other people. That's why Gemini gets that role of the two faces. They're not actually two faces. What it is their ability to be close and to be obscure from people that they connect with or that they love. They'll come in and they'll be like, Susie, Ted, or whatever, She didn't really talk to me today. Normally, she is so much more enthusiastic and bubbly. And it may not have anything to do with you at all. But it's their ability to know that they don't have the energy to give to you, or they just won't give it to you. And that makes you feel like they don't like you, or they're giving you faces, when actually, it's not that at all. They may not even think of you at all, or they may think of you but think it's just not important. Like your emotional state isn't important to them. So therefore, they put you at this point. But if you reached out to connect with them, they probably would connect with you right away. And that's kind of like why Gemini seems like it's a trickster, because they can be very much in their own analysis, but still wanting to connect, because all air signs want to connect. Air is an element that goes in and out of everything. There are no boundaries. So it doesn't want to really be bound. In any way, you know? So then through the birth canal, now four, we get to Cancer. Now Cancer is the first of the water. So now you can see how Aries was the first and the first fire, first cardinal. But then Gemini was the magician, which is Mercury, the one, which is the initialization of self. But Cancer is the first water. It's the first of the water. So we're going back to cardinal, because we'll go cardinal, fixed, mutable, cardinal, fixed, mutable, cardinal, fixed, mutable, right? That's how the zodiac plays itself out. But the elements go fire, earth, air, water, fire, earth, air, water, fire, earth, air, water. So we're on the first water, which is Cancer. And Cancer is talking about emotional intelligence. Now we've got all that wiring. Now we have all of this synthesis and nerve endings, and we can sense things that mommy's feeling in the womb, right? That's that Gemini connecting. Okay, we really are understanding through that. We're connected to her. We're her twin. She's ours. When we come through the womb, that is Cancer, right? I always talk about, I kind of joke about it, but I'm like, when you're having a baby, everybody's crying when you're having the baby. You know, the baby's crying. The mama's crying. The daddy's crying. the nurse might be crying. Ooh. Like, everybody's crying. It's this magical portal of just as gross, as magical, as beautiful, as strenuous, as heavenly, as divine. I mean, all of these things are happening with the birth of this baby. And through that, it's like cancer energy. It's like the emotional intelligence of why you need to be this way. It's mom. Now you've been manifested. Like I said, 4 is the foundation. 1, 2, 3, 4, legs to a table and you can set it. 1, 2, 3, 4, legs to a chair and you can sit down. 4 is the manifestation. Now the baby is here through the mom, cancer. The baby's crying. The mom is crying. Everyone's crying. We're all here. We all see it. It's real. And now we all understand when you think of the zodiac as a circle and you're looking at a natal chart, the rising starts at Aries, which is that spring middle placement, which is basically 9 o'clock. Then you go down to 6 o'clock, 3 o'clock, then 12 o'clock. That's how you read the natal chart circularly. So we're basically on the 6 o'clock, which is 4, right? Because it's 1, 2, 3, 4, the fourth month now. We're in the end of June, July, cancer season. 4. So 4s, cancers naturally are empathic. They're naturally emotionally intelligent. They don't have to go around to Gemini and ask all these questions and connect with people in all these ways. They show up in a place and they can feel the temperature. She's happy with her job. She hates her job. She likes her boyfriend. Second date, third date, they hate each other. She's talking to her mother on the phone and she wishes that her mother would come by. Like, this is the type of stuff that cancers just feel stuff. They just know. It doesn't matter what you're saying. Sometimes they just say stuff just to hear the sound waves come out of you, because they can figure out from the sound waves. You know what I mean? Because it's just like, there's not a lot of hiding things with cancer. Even crabs. Crabs have eyes outside of their body. They can move their eyes without turning their head or their neck. It's the same thing in the water. When you're in the water and you push a wave, I can be facing behind you, but I could feel the wave go past my body and turn around. That's what water can do. You have to put a lot more force into the air for air to do that. But water can do it very easily. That's the same type of understanding. It's like the emotional intelligence you have with your mother as a child. When she gives you a look or something. When she's parenting you. And you know what that look means as a child. When you're out in public somewhere and you're misbehaving. That's a wave that she's sending you. Whoa, 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 whoa. She's giving you something, honey. She's giving you a feeling. And that's what cancer is, emotion. Your mom gives you a feeling just because she created you. It doesn't matter if she was in your life or not. If she was a good mom or a bad mom, it doesn't matter. She gave you a feeling. She's karmically connected to you forever. Forever. It doesn't matter who she is. Your mom was a woman, a little girl, before she had you. I know that's shocking to a lot of people out there. You know, she was a regular Jane Doe, and then you happened to her. Okay. And I don't know why, but that's a really hard evaluation for a lot of humans, especially a lot of straight cis males, I have to say. It just depends on how the mothering plays itself out. Because it's not something that you have to think about. Especially if you haven't developed enough to look at your mother and some of the mistakes that she made as a human being. You know, if you're looking at your mother constantly like, well, she did this to me, and you're 50 something years old. I mean, come on, you know, like she may be alive, she may not be alive, but it's your responsibility at 50 something years old to look at your programming and to look at why you feel this way and to address it with your mother. If that's necessary for you to get the healing from the situation is part of your karmic path And you may have set that out during cancer in the womb. This is what I'm saying about circles, ripples, boom, 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 boom. These things are set. There are certain things, especially during Gemini season, where, you know, Gemini time in the womb, honey, where you were like, okay, when I get to this age, I want to attract this type of person. Yeah, because that's your personality. Cancer is right after that. So now you're like 20, 23, 24 to like 32 or something like that. You know, this is like when that's like the season of Cancer. And think about what happens during that time. A lot of women become moms during that time, 24 to 32. They become wives. That's really that time when they have either gone to college or not going to college. Or if they're going to college, they're still, they've started having a family. Because Cancer is about the family. So there's this emotional intelligence, Venus and Cancer, between themselves and sharing something else, even if it's not a child, because we all know that our husbands and our boyfriends can be a lot like our children at times, too. We even call our man baby. We even call them baby. Hey, baby. Come here, baby. Hey, baby. You know, like, you hungry baby? You even feed the man before you feed the kids a lot of the times because he brought the money or he brought the groceries or something, and maybe you prepared them, you know? So you honor him, and then, you know, you feed the children and then you eat, or, you know, you all eat together. You make it, but then you all sit down together and eat. And these are natural hierarchies of the family. So then you get to Leo or Leo season, and Leo is the self. So that's when the baby now realizes that it is a baby. You know that you are you, right? And so that's why Leo is trying with Aries. They're both fire, because now fire is starting over again, right? You see, you had the baby, you saw clearly, you had the birth, and now at Leo season, you are you completely. You're like, I'm a baby and I feel like trying to walk today. Okay. That's basically what that is. And so maybe you're going to try to run first, or maybe you're going to try to crawl first, or maybe you're going to try to get up and lean up against this thing. But those actions is the sun. So the sun is your actions. That's what shines light on your universe. So if you have sun in Pisces, that's where the sun was when your universe started, right? Or that's where what portal you came through. If you have the sun in Sagittarius, that's where your portal came through. That's where the sun, that's where your actions are shown. That's how we see you. That when you decide to get up and run as a baby, that's what we see. We see Sagittarius probably trying to get up and run real fast, right? Whereas a Taurus might take their time with it, you know, and have building blocks with it. Might even have a harder time starting out. Just exemplifications of the life path. Because if you think about it, the sun is a flashlight, so the galaxy is dark. And then you turn the sun on and you can see. Just like if you're in your room and it's dark and you turn a flashlight on and you see. Everything that's there is there. But you see it now, right? Because you turn the flashlight on. That's basically what your sun is. You know, we're seeing it through your actions. We are. As other galactical, beautiful, spiritual maps of Christ, of God. Okay? So, at Leo, we're like, okay, I want to have a family. I don't want to have a family. I want to live. I want to be J-Lo. I want to be Mick Jagger. I want to be Sandra Bullock. I want to be Carl Jung. I want to be Jackie Onassis. I want to be Madonna. I want to be Whitney Houston. I want to be Bill Clinton, Obama. These are all Leos. All of those are Leos. Sean Penn. Me, okay, you know, these are all very fiery people who are just kind of like, I am, you know, and there's a natural antagonism that comes with fire because fire spiritually purges. There's nothing that can survive in fire, right? Everything is cleansed, everything is burned away, and that's burned away through the actions, right? So a lot of these people who are Leos revolutionized thought processes. They were like the first to do something a lot of the times, or they were outlandish. Look at Madonna when she came out with the cone breasts. Everybody was like, oh my goodness, these cone breasts are the erotic album, Erotica. Or when she came out with like a virgin and she's touching herself on stage in a wedding dress. Okay. Very provocative. You think everybody was like, yeah, I love it. Some people were, but a lot of people were talking crap about it, you know? And that's that antagonism that fire naturally brings. But guess what? Fire catches as well. It wants to catch fire, wants to burn. And so in that burning is truth. Why is this affecting you like this? Why are you bothered by it, huh? You know, and that's kind of what fire can give you. So then after that, you move on to Virgo, right? Because fire is the father, it's the maternal sign. It's the father going out to like do work and come back. And he's doing all of that because of his universe inside, what's in his heart, right? So Virgo comes along and Virgo goes, okay, it's great that you have these talents. It's great that you have all these things that you can do, but can we market this? Can we harvest this? Can we make this into a product? Like, perfect example, if you're a singer and you've been singing outside and everybody's been coming around and dropping like change into your bucket and applauding you because you're so talented, Virgo will come along and be like, it's nice that we can go on tour and do stuff like that, but can we package this in a studio? Can we make this into a CD so that we can go into a music store and somebody can buy it on their own and listen to it while they're cleaning dishes? You know, that's very Virgo. Like, it's a small detail, which is Virgo. It's earth, CD, physical, manifestation. You can hold it. It's there. It's Mercury, music. It's mercurial because it's like going through the waves, this crown chakra. All of those things were an example of what Virgo is like. You think about some really great musicians, Michael Jackson, Beyonce, Virgos. And this need for perfection in their systems. Virgos very much have this deep desire to want to be perfect, which we already know we're perfectly imperfect. But what it is for them is when they look back at the synthesis or the scenarios within their lives, they want it to be in a way that they feel comfortable telling the story. And that's basically what it means for a Virgo. Like if you look at Beyonce, she was in a girl group and then she was, you know, and then the girl group became like a 3, and then, you know, and then she managed, you know, her mom managed her, or her dad managed her, and then she became her own manager, and then she's always been talking about the same guy, and then she had one baby, and then she had 3 babies from the same guy. She's always singing about that same guy. She's a lady in the street, but a freak in the bed, and, you know, everything that you hear about her, you're looking at it in a sense that, okay, yeah, she went through those things, but she handled it well. Oh, this is all so perfectly polished. Oh, everything is just mm-mm-mm. And she's got that Leo moon. So she's always in the fan. Her hair is blowing like a mane. And Sasha Fierce or whatever. That's like Leo energy, Leo moon. But she herself is a Virgo, right? Which is very like, I'm sitting here perfectly and trying to talk to you in this way. And I have these polished things. And I also have a fashion line, because Virgo is all about fashion. Hello, fine arts, right? Then we get to, now we're older, right? We're like in our 40s or so. We're getting into our 40s now, because Leo was like 30, 33, 39, 38, something like that. That's like that period of time where if you have a business or you start a business or you really are like over your family or your career, or you're really settled more into yourself. And then when you get to Libra season, you're thinking that's the spouse season, right? That's also the time to connect. Now you may have been married for quite some time at this point. So your spouse's life is infused in with your life. It's your lives are together. It's not just your life anymore, right? It's our life. And that's very Libra, right? Which is opposing Aries. Because when you were in the womb, you were like, I just want this, 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 and this. Well, Libra's saying, well, what are we doing? Well, where are we going? Well, what's going on with us? Well, it's nice that you have that, but does anybody know about it? You know, like Aries is like, I want to build this thing. I got this building. And Libra's like, can we Google it? Can they find us? Like, is this a good location to start? You know, it's very, So, and it's Venus. It's the masculine version of Venus. It's Venus. You could say Venus as a boy, or you could say Venus and a masculine throne, which is Judge Judy, civil courts, air, masculine energy. So here she's like really weighing things out. She's like, it's not just about being the trophy wife and being the beautiful thing. She's like, okay, well, what are the logistics here? Maybe she's helping you with your taxes. This is the place where the wife comes in, and the wife is a loose term, but when the wife comes in and she's able to assist you with the interview or with the taxes or with your resume, and that's when you're thinking, I'm so glad I married her or him or them. Those are Libra placements, when you're weighing things out in your life and what somebody can do for your life or what you can do for someone else's life. And depending on what planets you have there is going to determine whether or not that constellation is going to be more debilitated or it's going to be favorable within what it is that you need, what you're attracted to, maybe aesthetically even, what you're attracted to. Then you move on to Scorpio. So Libra is all about the logistics, and it's like the business part of us that's like, okay, we have really gotten down to the corporate end of things now through our life existence on this planet and this, that, and the other. And God has allowed us to live this long, and we know this much, and we're this. Scorpio is like the hidden stuff. Now, this is the shared resources of your spouse and of your family. This is the earth, this is the water, sorry, that is fixed within you. The sense of you that is survival based, the part of you that doesn't want to negotiate. Libra gets hurt from negotiating, and Scorpio comes along and says, I act this way for a reason. Well, my sister died at 8, so I don't trust this, da 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 da. Well, my cousin was raped when she went to this party, so I don't want to let da 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 happen. Or because my mother died when I was 5, so I never had a mother growing up. I only had my father, so I'm a little more stern than other women. So that's how I. This is how I deal with things. Like this. These type of emotions or these type of fixed emotional placements is really what Scorpio is dealing with. It's also the feeling that comes from. Being fixed in an emotion through another person, that shared resource, like especially your spouse. Like maybe your spouse gets a terminal disease or something. Well, you feel like you have a terminal disease because you're going through it too. If your spouse loses their father, well, you lost your father-in-law. You're married to someone who lost their father. It's like, I think a lot of times people try to downplay their own pain in life in order to be strong for another person. And denial is like the worst thing you could do to yourself. You've got to look at that at, and first deal with your pain so you can be strong enough to deal with theirs. Wow, all that hurt. Maybe you need to go in the room and think about all those amazing memories and how painful it is for you and cry in the shower so that you can come back and be strong for your husband or your wife who lost their father. But you love the father-in-law just as much. You've been married to them for 20 years. It doesn't mean that you didn't lose something too. It's not a competition. Right? Those are kind of like the Scorpio, I act this way for a living. I need to live out my truth kind of awarenesses. Then you get into Sagittarius, right? Now we're much older, much more mature. Because in Scorpio, Scorpios I control. Right, so you now you're in a place where you control the female aggression, whereas happy wife, happy life kind of thing, where she's like, well, he think he's gonna get away with this, but he about to find out. But he got to go to the grocery store as soon as he come home. Go and put your shoes back on. Like that's kind of like Scorpio a little bit. It's like these hidden undertone aggressions, and they can be stings or venomous at times, right? The awareness, just like cooking in the kitchen and seeing a scorpion, you'd be shocked. And a lot of that has to do with survival, for Scorpio. Then you get to Sagittarius. Sagittarius is the last of the fire. Sagittarius is very spirited. It's hard for them to stop doing something that they feel passionate about because they are the most mature of the fire. So they feel like, and God told them basically on a rock, like Moses, that's the energy. They feel very spirited about where they come from, who they are. You know, they could be have a lot of people behind them possibly, or just come from a very strong family values. That's very Sagittarius, very sure in their own spirit. Well, it's this. It's very hard to stop a horse from running once it starts running. 0 to 60 horsepower. Okay, you know, very hard to stop a horse. Horses hurt people all the time and don't mean to. They were just trying to ride you, horsey. Forgive me for that hurtful but accurate thing I said. That's very Sagittarius. And that's because Sagittarius is very much on honesty a lot of the times. They want that honest, brutal truth out of it, and they won't. They're not like Gemini. They won't sugarcoat, or try to connect with you in a guise, and they won't be the con artist. They'd rather just be full out angelic and blast you with the truth than be the con artist who's gonna guise you and be like wolf-like and kind of, you know, bake you a pie. They don't want to bake you a pie. And that's because it's Jupiter, it's the ninth house, and it's talking about development. So it's just what's good for you, what's beneficial for you. And that, and what's magnanimous, things can get out of control fast with Sagittarius. It's not two, it's 20, it's 200, 2000. Boom, boom, pow. It rules explosions. So then we get to Capricorn, the last of the earth. Now, Capricorn, we done went through all this debris, we done had all these explosions, and Saturn is ruling time, and Capricorn is ruling playing the game to win. So it's the politician. Oh, this is the system we have to do, then I'm going to do it their way, and I'm going to get all the way to the top. I don't care how long it takes. That's very Capricorn. I'm going to know every aspect. I'm going to do everything this way. And then they ain't going to be able to tell me that I don't deserve it because I went through all these things to get it. Also, Capricorn wants to slow everything down naturally. So if you have strong Capricorn placements, it's talking about your skeletal system, it's talking about your foundation, it's talking about like really slowing things down and mastering something. Maybe even feeling like a prison because you have to slow it down so much, because Capricorn rules enforcement and prison, right? It rules the Midhaven, which is like Google your name, what you do with your life, basically, like in galactically or in the stars in the heavens. When we think about your obituary and stuff like that, that's very Capricorn. What did they actually do? And Saturn is also the planet of restriction and enforcement. So it's very like, doesn't it opposes Cancer, which is the mom, which is wow, oh wow, I'm here, right? And Saturn is like, you here, but this is your karma because you're here. Your mom had diabetes, so you might have diabetes. Your dad is black, so you're black. Those are Saturn things, right? Saturn on the other side of Cancer saying, I don't care how you feel. It doesn't matter how you feel. You're fat because your family's fat, you're big boned. Learn to love yourself. You can still work out and do things and have a healthy body and love your body. That's the type of stuff that Saturn is kind of giving you. It's like, you're never gonna be this. I'm never gonna be blonde with blue eyes and fair skin. That's not me. I am the beautiful chocolate toned empress with the locks that can be sandy blonde and all other colors. You know what I mean? Like, you have to celebrate who you are. So then with Capricorn, you know, there's a lot of bucking and pushing and prodding and not wanting to look at emotions. So Capricorn's okay with doing very lusty things. So that's a very lusty placement for a lot of us. That's like the old man, that kind of the creepy old man sometimes, right? Jupiter is like the beneficial kind of guru priest, and then Saturn is kind of like the enforcer. So it can be the cop or something like that. And the cop can be a good cop or the cop can be a bad cop, as we all know. Okay? Black Lives Matter. Okay. Now, moving on to Aquarius. Now, in Aquarius used to be ruled by Saturn as well. And then once we discovered the telescope, Uranus became the ruler of Aquarius. And Uranus is also another name for God, for the sky god. And I correlate that to the Hebrew god as well. Shapeshifter, mystique, spirit, zero, the fool in the tarot, which zero is in everything, every fraction, every decimal. Think about that big boom again. Boom, ripple. That was you. That was your birth. That was also the big boom. That was also the sex. Sex, the sex, the creation, right? The creation of what? Of the wheel, of you. So when you get to Aquarius, that's when you start to really understand all that type of stuff. Because Aquarius is talking about the community. We all need this. Or that bolt of electricity. Electricity. Think about what electricity did for the earth once we discovered how to harness it in the clouds. Aquarius. Just a simple thing like brushing your teeth is Aquarius, okay? They didn't know to brush their teeth, so their teeth were falling out when they were like 20, and it was just rotting. They just didn't even know. Now we know. Make sure when you run out of toothpaste or toothbrush to go over and get the, you know, go get it. And make sure you brush twice a day and floss. The knowledge of that is what spares us the pain of whatever what the earth would have for us, right? Because that earth is Taurus, but Aquarius is the last fixed. So we were Taurus, then we were Leo, then we were Scorpio, and now we're Aquarius. Which is that realization that the earth is actually a spaceship. Once you get to Aquarius, you're like, oh, I was always just thinking all these things were just here for me. But now I need to be thinking I'm a part of everything. Even the planets that circle around me, they're watching me like they're my mom and dad or something. Like this is like a gladiator event and they're up watching me joust. Like literally, that's what the planets are doing for you individually. Yes, you should be excited. You should feel like it's giving you a big hug. And you should feel more confident in who you are. Why wouldn't you want to know more about yourself? Everybody wants to know more about themselves. That's kind of what we learned through Aquarius. And then finally, once we get to retirement and we get to the egotistical, we get to the non-egotistical, which is Pisces. That's the last. That's the surrender. Pisces is the realization. That's the grandma energy that we're all going to die. That we're all going to give up the ghost. That we're all going to return to whence we came from. The idea of a fish and a school of fish even, right? It's like they're all going together. They're mm-hmm. all going together mm-hmm. because they realize that they need each other. That they are more powerful within numbers. That they're safer together. That they're a part of a species. That they're a part of a collective consciousness. All of this is Pisces when it's like seer, psychic, quote-unquote, energy. All of this stuff. When the third eye, dreams, Neptune. When you're like, I had a dream or I thought I saw something and you did see it. Or when you walk past something in real life and you're like, I think this thing is for me for some reason. And it is for you and you keep it for the rest of your life. Be it a dog, an object, a person, an idea. Right? Those are very Neptune things, like the looking glass. And Neptune is in Pisces now. It's domicile. It's at home where it belongs. And Mercury just transited into Pisces as I do this podcast yesterday. It's March 16th. It was the Ides of March yesterday. And so there's this end of tropically, end of Pisces season, sidereally, just getting into it, is bringing this awareness of that full cycle of the zodiac. I just took you through it, right? So during Pisces, that's like grandma. She's empathizing with daughter, with the husband, with herself, with the grandkids. That's Pisces energy. Oh, with the neighbor. Well, I baked a pie because Betty Sue lost her husband. And I just imagine losing my husband. All these kids I got, I would need him. That's Pisces energy. You know what I mean? Like it's the spiritual. It's just the awareness of that subjectivity to the heavens even. I hope that was helpful on this episode of Moon Talk Radio Presents Sex, the Sex, and Creation. And how that cycle of things, because then you die, right? Winter end of winter, and then spring, April, March, March 20th, boom, March 21st, boom, spring, Aries, baby, boom, another baby, boom, another cycle. Circle of life, right? Bop, bop, away, and it moves us all, and it moves us all. Okay, right? And that whole understanding of the subjectivity to the heavens. I got one more thing that I want to leave you guys with. I have this amazing book by Melissa Alvarez called Spirit Animals, Little Book of Spirit Animals. And I open it up randomly, and I discover the animals more instinctually. I've been starting from the front of the book, but then I was like, you know, it's not really the type of book that you just start from the front and read to the back. It's more like a book that you just call, the pages call upon you. So this one is The Walrus, The Animal Today. Walrus is earth, water, primary color brown. Walrus is thought to be the keeper of knowledge, which means its message is for you to undertake higher learning. This could be enrolling in college or taking some night classes. It could even be just learning on your own through reading as many books on as many topics that interest you as you can. Walrus is the teacher when you're ready to become the student. It encourages you to find others who share your same interests and to become part of a group. From the group setting, you will learn even more due to the varying opinions of the other members. Walrus encourages you to expand your horizons, to see far beyond where your physical vision ends, and to enter the area of the divine. Now is the time to ask lots of questions. If you're progressing along your spiritual path, you'll discover that just as Walrus showed up to guide you, other teachers will show up to help you expand your consciousness. Walrus reminds you to stay stable and grounded as you reach greater levels of enlightenment. This is also a time to keep yourself protected from influences who may not have your best interests at heart. That's Walrus for you guys. If you guys have any questions, just send me an email at radiomoontalk@gmail.com. You can also follow me on IG, moontalk.radio, and you can subscribe to YouTube, Moontalk, one word, radio. The YouTube is kind of under construction. We'll get it back up running soon. But yeah, if you guys want to instinctually just get connect with me, just find me on Instagram and send me a DM. I do personal readings. I am a tarot intuitive as well. So if you're in New York City, in the greater New York area, you can find me at Amshanti Bookshop on Wednesdays, usually from 2 to 8 on 14th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenue. Again, this is Gray Del Martez Harris, Gray, an acronym for Girls Really Are Yearning. And I'm signing off of Moon Talk Radio, another rendition. Have a blessed day.